Today, when I woke up, you know, our Holy Father is talking about just don't romanticize Christmas. And so what a powerful way that the church went from the Christmas peace on earth to men of goodwill, the song of the angels. And then I wake up this morning and 39 Nigerians are killed at St. Teresa's Catholic Church by extremist Muslims. The blood is flowing in all of Nigeria by those who want to radicalize, who want to impose Sharia law in Nigeria. And they're going to do it by killing. What did the church do today for us? It gives us the feast of Stephen, the beautiful little baby announcing a whole announcement of peace on earth, the angels sang. And the baby, in his serenity and peace, comes into the world. Christmas, the next day, the church says, let's celebrate the feast of St. Stephen, December the 26th. And the world has certainly done that. We go from Christmas to this bloodshed in Nigeria. And they were killed because they were Catholics. So was Stephen. He was a follower of Jesus. And now, what is the message? That love is going to conquer these radicals. They are killing in the name of God. And what does God say through the mouth of Stephen, who echoes the mouth of Jesus on the cross? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And as they stone Stephen, he says, Father, forgive them. And then he turns and he sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And so he goes, and today as I offered Mass for those 39 Nigerians, that he goes from bloodshed and death, seeing them now at the right hand of the Father, 39 of our brothers and sisters, and the blood is shed on Africa. And so it is being shed all over the world. There's more bloodshed and witnessing to Jesus Christ throughout the world by the communists who hate Jesus, anti-God. There is no God, they say, and Jesus, the evangelizer, Jesus, the good news. Yes, I am the Son of God. Who are you? I am Jesus. You can't kill me. I am going to conquer. I am the light of the world. I cannot be overcome. I never met really martyrs growing up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where I was born, here in the United States. You know, and I remember when the bishop confirmed us, and I was just a little boy, 10 years old, and I remember Bishop O'Reilly saying, you're never going to have to die for your faith, children. You're going to have to witness to it. And you're going to have to witness because that's what martyrs are. And I kind of believe that. And then I was stationed in Lebanon. And there I met so much bloodshed, so many martyrs. One day I met Nicholas Cluthers. He was a Dutch priest. He was from Holland. He spoke perfect Arabic in his early 40s, handsome, great, great preacher and teacher, gentle, loving Jesuit who was in the Bekaa Valley. There were so many crazies there from Liberia, from Libya. They were so fanatical. They had been sent there by Muammar Gaddafi. And then there were others sent from Iran, Hezbollah from Iran, and they were Party of God, and they were Shia who wanted to advance the cause of Islam and they really felt they were given keys by Ayatollah Khomeini. They could go to heaven if they killed Christians. They really believe that.
Wow.
And so I was in the midst of this craziness, and not as much as Father Nicholas, because he was in the Baikal Valley. And when I would go to visit him, he would always take my American passport. He said, because I look so Lebanese, he said, let your face do the walking here, not uh-huh. your passport. So uh-huh. He hid my American passport so that people wouldn't know that I was, and I spoke Arabic, and I looked as if the part of being Lebanese. Anyway, as I saw him opening up clinics for the sick, women who were going to have babies, as I saw him opening up schools, as I saw him going in from one village to another in the Baikal, one of them was Naba, and that's where one of his villages. And one day there was a young seminarian at Christmas that was killed in Naba, and he was from the Kairouz family. They were a large Christian family, and he wrote a will. If I ever get killed, I want no retaliation at my funeral, because the feud would be, if you killed a Christian, they were going to kill you back. And this young seminarian believed there must be peace at my funeral. Well, they killed him. The seminarian who was teaching catechism, who was doing the evangelization of Jesus, our Savior, at Christmas. He had come from heaven. The same evangelization was taking place with Father Cluthers. And he had the Stations of the Cross. He himself was going to play Jesus. And the teaching of Jesus was going to be, as he, in a living way, would act out the Stations of the Cross, and all of a sudden he disappeared, and he wasn't to be found. A young boy, they tied a rope around him, and they lowered him into a well. And as they pulled the body up that was there, and they called me to identify my friend, it was Nicholas Cluthers. They had killed him. And as I looked at him, they had pulled out all his teeth. They had pulled out his fingernails. They wanted to say, if you're a Christian, you're going to die. And especially if you're teaching about Jesus, you're going to die. And they did indeed kill him. They electric shocked his groin. I kept thinking, what must he have been thinking? This man of peace, as those to whom he was sent, whom he loved. And all I could think of in my heart was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Nicholas Cluthers died in the Baikal Valley, and they realized that they were going to eventually kill all of us who were foreigners who had come to Lebanon, like he came from Holland, and I was going to do the evangelizing in Lebanon. And soon they thought they would kill me. I had an archbishop then and a cardinal, O'Connor, who had heard about this and realized that I wasn't going to be very safe there. And he told me when the next trip that I had to Rome, that we'll give you 24 hours to get out of Beirut. I asked him for 48, and I eventually did leave. I remember going to Holland, where he came from, in Delft. And as I visited with his mother, I remember saying to her what words I could for consolation. And she looked at me and had greater words. She said, when my son went to Lebanon, he knew what he was doing. He's now a martyr, and he's now in heaven. And as I was looking at her face, I could see Mary. She said, please pray that I won't hate those who killed him. And so that was Mary, as she looked at those who killed Jesus on the cross. That was the same Mary, I'm pretty sure, in that early church who buried Stephen. Father, forgive them. Her first son, Jesus, and Stephen, her son. That's why she's the Queen of Martyrs. And that's why I'm sure that Our Lady of Nigeria is there, consoling the families of their 39 loved ones who have died. And now those 39 are praising God and singing His glory forever, because Jesus is in those 39. They were baptized into Jesus. They were confirmed in Jesus. Their patroness, Saint Teresa, yes, they're in heaven and they're in glory. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. And He has conquered sin and Satan and death. They are reigning now in glory. And we do have, in the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. This coming together on October the 7th and going until the 28th is 21 days. Look forward to it. What a magnificent year this is going to be, 2012. What a great year it's going to be, Chris, for you and for me and for everyone who wants this message said throughout the whole world. Nigeria, Africa, you belong to Jesus. Nigeria belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the King of Nigeria. Jesus is the King of Morocco. Jesus is the King of Egypt. Jesus is the King of Africa. No one can overcome Him. The light has shone in the world. This is the truth. And we who are called to preach this gospel, the new evangelization, want to speak it with the truth. The power that was in Stephen, the power of the Holy Spirit, they couldn't stop his mouth. They killed him. But here he is, 20 centuries later, still proclaiming Jesus, Saint Stephen, the first martyr. The evidence that this child that was born is truly the King.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, Monsignor, you spent time in Africa this last fall.
Yes.
And it really touched your heart.
Yes.
That continent,
yes.
The entire continent.
Yes. I particularly was touched by the story of Rwanda. You know, the hundreds of thousands of the Holocaust in Rwanda, where the Tutsis and the Hutus, just both of them, many Christians among them, killing each other. And Our Lady of Kabeo came there 30 years before that. And what was the message? Love one another. Forgive one another. You might belong to two different tribes, and you might have been backed by either the British or the Belgians. That's political. But you belong to one family, and you belong to Jesus by your baptism. And so the onslaught and the killing, Mary was not heeded. Our Lady of Kabeo was not listened to. And she appeared to the children 30 years before the slaughter in Nigeria, when hundreds of thousands died. And of course, what's the message? And Immaculée Ilagabisa is proclaiming that message as she survived it, living to tell. It's a magnificent story. How for 90 days or 91 days, she was locked there in a bathroom with six other people. And in the first 30 days, she couldn't say the Our Father completely. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. She would leave it out. She'd say the rosary, but she wouldn't say that prayer because she heard the people that killed her father. She was listening to the neighbors that killed her mother and killed her brother, and she hated them. And she couldn't pray, forgive us as we forgive. And eventually, for her own survival, because she was afraid that she too would be killed any time, she had to learn how to pray forgive us as we forgive. That prayer in the Our Father. And so this magnificent year, what is it going to be a year of? What is a year for Jesus? It's to love. It's to love your enemies. It's to love one another. Archbishop Sheen once, he was talking about the Feast of St. Stephen, and he said, you know, a lot of Christians should really be celebrating Christmas on the 26th of December, because even Stephen, oh, you didn't send me a card. You're off my list for next year. Oh, I gave you a gift, and you didn't give me anything. I'll make sure I remember that next year. So it turns out that Christmas is really not a time for giving and sacrificing. It's a time for you give me and I'll give you. And so he talked about the feast on the 26th being even Stephen. If you give me, I'll give you. If you don't give me, I won't give you. Some Christians really live that way, and they fail to remember that Christmas is truly giving, and it's giving everything we have for the other. Yes.
You know, Monsignor, it's sad, isn't it, that these beautiful Christians who were trying to go to Mass or to try to celebrate the birth of Christ, their deaths and that bombing will not be the first thing that will be in the news stories around the world. Instead, it will be political situations and the economy, which are important. Yep. But my gosh, you know, this martyrdom happens every day in many ways around the world, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And I think, you know, we take hope to really sensitize the whole world to love. You see, the Christian message is loving and forgiving. And so as these 39 have died, if there is going to be for Nigeria and for the world. Now, these Muslims, the ones who did this, they have to kind of look at themselves. Our Holy Father kept saying, you could be a Muslim. Do you believe in this? Is this what you believe? And so how can we grow? There are 1 billion of you Muslims. Do you all have this radicalism? Or are you different? And so it's like your silence will speak if you don't speak up and say, this is wrong. And our president said, this is senseless. It's wrong. It's evil. Now, for us to retaliate against their wrong, for us to hate those who hate us, all it's going to do is continue the hatred and the violence. And so what we really need from our listeners today is those who are truly going to dedicate their lives on a daily basis, an hour by hour basis, in your own family, husbands and wives, love, parents and children, love. There are many households that are divided, neighborhoods, love. Not this Protestant, this Catholic, this Jew, this Black, this whatever. And so the unity, it's all going to, the peace of the world, which is really what the angel's saying, is going to come through men of goodwill. It's our will and our desire to do the will of the Father.
That's why it's important not to wait enthroning the Sacred Heart in our lives and in our homes. We really can't afford to wait any longer, can we?
Well, exactly what that means is this, Chris. When he reigns in my heart, see, John Esseff can't live this life. The angel said to Mary, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Can I forgive those who would kill my brother? Can I forgive those who would kill my children? No, it's impossible. Who can do that? Jesus. Jesus. And so when the Sacred Heart reigns in my heart, when I first enthrone him in me, one heart that beats with the heart of Jesus, just you, me, we can bring about the salvation of the world. It's not I who do it. It's Paul who said, I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. The enthronement of the Sacred Heart is that personal. First, he lives in my heart. Then when the father of a family and the mother of a family do it as a married couple together, then you have the family in one, united with Jesus. Then the children will see this. They catch the fire. So many times when I see little children imitating their parents, your children are going to, do you want your child to be like you? You know, I was with this mother recently. Her son, who is a priest, is addicted to pornography. Horrible kinds of pornography. And he's lost his priesthood over it. Well, the tragedy was this. The mother's, when he finally revealed to his mother what his situation was, the mother said, you're just like your father. Mm-hmm. It was the father that introduced his son to be a viewer of pornography. And so would you want your son to be like you? The only way you can be one with Jesus is that he reigns in my heart. You can't send your children off to church to become one with Jesus. Send them off to Mass to receive communion. Send them off to go to confession. No, they're going to be like you. You're the model. I'm the model. We're the model. What's the model? Jesus. There was only one who saved the world. There is only one Redeemer, Jesus Christ. That's the evangelization. When are we going to get it straight? Only one Savior, only one Jesus. And when we have that faith, and when we believe it in our hearts, then it's going to happen. Why? Because then I'm not going to do it. He in me, this voice is not mine that's going out over the airwaves. It's his. And only the power of the Spirit can touch your heart. And if it does, then you can be open. Every single person, he's waiting at the door. And he's inviting to come in. And so the enthronement of the Sacred of your heart, and then take him into your home and put him as king. Take him and give him a place of honor, his image, Sacred Heart of Jesus. Reign in my heart. Reign in my family. Reign in my business. And you teenagers, you know, it's not just that you did that at Madrid, if you're listening to me. Reign in my school. Reign in my university. Reign in my kindergarten. If you're 5, 6 years old, you can be Jesus. He can come into your heart. The greatest evangelizers will be children who are taken over because you are the most innocent. And he already said that, and Our Lady said that. Every place Our Lady goes, what does she look for? Children. Innocent children.
Monsignor, when you call us to be models, another word I suppose could be witness. And of course, the other word for witness is martyr.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly. Then what, you know, when somebody once said, you know, what you are speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. And Francis used to, with regard to his witnessing, said, sometimes you might have to use words, but it's really my example. It's the way I live. And so I talk is the talk, but it's to walk the walk.
And to be not afraid.
Amen. I love that song. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come follow me, and I will give you rest. Though you walk through in the river, you shall not drown. Walk amidst the burning flames, you shall not be harmed. And if wicked men insult and hate you, all because of me, blessed, blessed are you. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come follow me, and I will give you rest. Well, God bless you.
God bless you too, Monsignor.
Talk to you again.
We love you.
Love you. Happy Feast of Saint Stephen.
Amen.